Hello, boys and girls. Welcome to another episode.
Buckle up and chill.
Hope you enjoy
that show. Can't believe it's all like that. Fucking pass it over then, dude. I've been waiting all day for that
podcast.
Ah, what's sweeter, the Sweet 16, a Tigers opening day victory, or the fact that we get to talk about it all in another episode of Buckle Up and Chill? How we doing, boys?
We got opening day, we got March Madness, we got Red Wings playing.
You got Arizona about to go down, which is why I think Matt looks depressed.
Yeah, this is sad. I don't know how.
Or is it just you're shocked? Like, what's this face going on here?
It's definitely shock, because Clemson coming out of nowhere.
I have a perfect explanation for it.
All right, let's hear it.
I don't enjoy this time of year. I don't enjoy seeing a Clemson team advance to Elite Eight. I want to see the Titans. I want to see the big boys.
Wait.
I happened to actually watch the Pac-12 this last year. Now, don't wait me. I'm not done. Okay. I actually happened to watch the Pac-12 this year, and I'm a big Caleb Love fan. Could have been Wolverine. Admissions, fuck that up. I don't want to see... Okay, my bet is one thing. I did bet on Arizona. That's one thing, and like I can live with that. I don't enjoy watching a team like Clemson be in the Elite Eight over a team like Arizona. It's obviously not over yet. Arizona has the ball here. Come on, please, God.
Oh, yes! Yes.
Over the ball game. It's not over, folks.
I enjoy the only team I would want to see in the Sweet 16.
That was such a big fucking shot. I know, I'm sorry. That was hype.
No, you're good. I know, that was hype. You're good, bro. It's not about MSU. That's
I'm
going to
say
you're
more butters, bro.
The only one I would have wanted to see would be Oakland. And that's another homer thing. I don't want to see these bummy teams. I don't want to see NC State.
You'd rather see Oakland over MSU?
No, that's not what I said.
That's what it sounded like.
No, it sounds like he's against the Oaklands and them getting into
I am, and they're the only one I would accept. Michigan State, I don't put into that realm. Michigan State's on a... Honestly, Clemson's higher seed than they are. Clemson's not... Okay, fine. I don't want to see... Make it simple. I would rather see Arizona be playing on Saturday than Clemson, bro. Like, I want to see the best. Caleb Love is a second-team All-American. Okay, that's who I want to see playing. And their big center, his foreign-ass name, I can't remember. I don't enjoy seeing this, no. And it's not over, obviously, but no. I like it close if Arizona wins. Look at that.
Oh, my God, you can't have it all.
And no.
I know. I totally agree
with what you're saying.
Hey, I picked Arizona to win.
But I thought, you were more butthurt that MSU wasn't in this position that Clemson's in.
Oh, that's fair.
That's where I thought you were coming off as.
No, that's not the truth. I mean, I am butthurt.
Dude, 29-16, and then we just fucking blow it. Yeah, this dude.
We'll stay with Clemson here. Alright, so who's gonna take over Grail for a moment?
Sean.
It's March Madness, people.
I think we can just react. I mean, Jesus.
Yeah. Time on the clock, folks.
Time on the clock. You guys are my color commentators.
come on, play by play.
And one.
That's game.
Oh my God.
That's game. That's literally game.
You cannot come back from that.
Yes, miracle. You can.
It'd have to be a miracle, Sasso. Come on.
It's madness. Come on.
Yeah, madness and miracle. Big difference.
It's almost
April. We'll take both.
March is almost over.
I did watch Texas A&M come back from 10 down with a minute 20 against Houston last Sunday. And they ended up losing in overtime. That was insane. Did you guys see any of that? It was a late Sunday game, so it was a tough time for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Dude, A&M was down 10 with a minute 20 left. That's crazy, though.
Man, it just seems like Arizona can never get it done.
No.
And I take them, like, every year. It's like, this is the year. No.
All right.
But they dominate their conference slate every year, too. And they always have top talent.
I got a question for both of you.
Gotta shoot quick.
They've been 1-2 seeds the last,
I feel. Caleb Love is going to chuck a three. You better shoot now, though, bro.
Yes, go quick.
Nice.
Oh!
Still, I mean, I don't like...
Right, smash this out. They're passing in.
That's a 95%. That's because he's 95%. Follow him.
Oh, all right.
You off, man.
Question for both.
Fuck that.
Question for both of you right now. Both of you right now.
What?
Who's going to win it? Sean, go first.
Oh, fuck. I don't.
Okay.
I think UConn. No, I mean, honestly, which I hate to say, I didn't pick. I picked Arizona, the team that just lost. I would.
But right now, right here, right now.
I think UConn.
Okay.
I just looked dominant.
Who's your favorite?
Is that game still on? What's the score of that game?
They're blowing them up.
All right.
Go, it's only the other one. No, go to it, please.
Go to the other one, though. Matt, who you got to win it all right now? Right here, right now.
Before the tournament?
No, right now.
Okay, I know. I'm getting there. Okay. I'd like to answer questions with details and complexity.
We
don't do a podcast to sit there and have one-word answer. We do it to explain things. Okay, and I enjoy it, especially when it comes to this. My passion. I thought Purdue before the beginning of the tournament. I will admit I'm probably a little bit biased on that take because of
big time.
I don't want to call myself an expert because that's kind of gay. I don't like that. Sorry, you know how I mean it. Not gay,
but he's calling himself an expert.
But I watch a lot of Big Ten basketball. Okay, I watch a lot. Okay, I'm a geek with it. I watch all the games. I know all the stars for every game. So I am. I watch. It was Purdue, but dude, seeing UConn, especially right now when they're doing San Diego State, a fool. You'd have to be a fool not to say UConn. You'd have to be a fool watching the games. You'd have to be an absolute fool. This is the big time, too. Not only did they run through the regular season, not only are they defending champs, they are running through the tournament. Will they be in San Diego State? I mean, it's ridiculous. Exactly. It's ridiculous. And Purdue has done the same thing, honestly. They ran through their first two games. But not like, we'll see what Purdue does against, who they play Gonzaga tomorrow. All
right.
Yeah, as much trust in Purdue because they're still in, they still have to prove it. UConn has done it. They know what it takes.
And Purdue Gonzaga already played this year. Purdue won by 3, okay?
Yeah, so, that was like the third game of the season, though.
I know.
I don't even take that into 0 account because they're different teams now.
So, to back you up, though.
It's a fun game to be.
To back you up, though, Purdue and UConn are the most complete teams right
Look
now.
Look at this, though. I mean, these are close games. UConn's playing.
Well,
at least UConn minus 11 with it.
Shit.
I've been on UConn since the beginning of the tournament.
Damn,
but
I lost all the money. I'm down.
Keep going. I'm pausing the video. Okay. But, anyways, you're correct, though. Purdue is at number 2. They're the.
Oh yeah.
I think it can't come out of UConn or Purdue, can it? Where are the brackets? I don't know the brackets.
I don't know exactly what.
I think it does. I think it can.
Because you'd have Klingon versus ED too, which would be a great matchup.
Those are the most two complete teams in college basketball.
What's our nearest game now? 9/23. Sorry, go ahead. You guys continue.
No, but. Those are the most complete teams in college basketball.
No,
we're talking about UConn blowing everyone out. Speaking, crazy stat I heard earlier, double-digit winners, if you're double-digit spread,
against
the spread, 14-3.
Who are we talking about?
Double-digit spreads.
What team are we talking about, UConn?
No, just in the tournament.
They've covered that, man.
Yeah, 14-3, double-digit numbers have been covered.
Holy shit.
And the public
you're about to mark up another one, too.
Yeah. And the public, 38-13.
Public always bets the favorites, yeah.
38, so Vegas coming for their money. Speaking of that, we're going to be watching Alabama. What do we got to do, a friendly?
I'm betting UNC.
If we're
I'm putting 50 on UNC.
Sean, real quick, where'd you get that over? Is that funny?
Yeah. I'm going over as well. Because I'd rather.
Tell you this, watching the teams, and I didn't hear where you got that from, but I just agreed with it because. There is no one who scores like these two teams. Grand Canyon was one of them who just played Alabama. These guys shoot. I don't like betting over-unders. It's not my thing. But if you're betting an over-under, you definitely want an over in this game.
No, I agree. And it's going to be fun. And so
Tom, what was the number?
Projections based on pace of play projects that there's going to be 160 possessions.
What was the number you got?
So that's why... I am going with the over. I liked it.
What was the number you got? 173
and a
half?
In a college game.
Just quoting, I trust the person. It is Valeni. I trust them.
And him and Costa are...
I thought that was insane.
I mean, they do the research. You're
they
willing
do.
To trust them. I do my research, too. Uh-oh. I'm back. This will blow up. All right, I have a hard time tonight betting against one of my favorite teams. I always like to pick pet teams every tournament, especially the Big Ten ones. Illinois is one of my faves, though. And I do really think they're going to lose tonight. They don't match up very well.
They're acting off a rapist.
I don't know if I want to go into all that, but allegations, right? He's still a lot of play. He's still a lot of play. I mean, obviously nothing is solidified. But, hold on, let me go into that for a real quick second. I'm able to separate, if they're letting him play basketball, I have to evaluate him as a basketball
player. I want to say something that you told me, though.
But,
no, you told me before the tournament, he could be yanked out. He couldn't play anymore.
Yeah, it was possible, and they keep delaying it and delaying it. It was possible.
No, and that was crazy to me.
It was possible, though. I was not making that up.
I know.
It hasn't happened because they keep delaying the case. I know they're doing it to delay it.
I think that's the biggest story right now, though.
But they don't even talk about it.
They don't. They don't.
They can't, though. They can't.
Right.
I get it. I get it. But, that was. But
that's mind-blowing to me, though.
It's been delayed four fucking times. Because I know they're waiting for that.
He could have got pulled out in the Big Ten tournament.
I know.
Right?
He got pulled out
anytime.
Anytime. They're delaying it. They're waiting until this season is completely concluded.
That blows my mind, though.
Because he's going to the league after this, too.
Does it not blow your mind? He could be yanked out at any time.
I'm not a lawyer. Well, not anymore.
I'm not looking at the legal side.
Now it's for sure punted till after the tournament.
Is it really?
Yes, for sure.
For sure?
Not till
facts?
Facts. End of April.
Okay.
It's gotten delayed 3 or 4 times. Don't quote me, but it's right there.
Okay.
He had a court date right at the end of the season. That's when he initially got suspended. He missed 10 games.
I know, but that blows my mind, though, because before everything happened.
Well, then, Illinois, here, I'll tell you. I'm not a lawyer, but it's just what I read from.
Before the tournament started.
At the middle of the regular season, he got suspended for 10 games. Yes. They filed an injunction that said there's not enough sufficient evidence that they don't have him in custody, blah, 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 a bunch of legal shit. They didn't have enough evidence. He filed a motion or an injunction, whatever it's called, one of the two, and he won. University of Illinois won, and the court said until this is completely figured out. I'm paraphrasing here, obviously.
Right.
Until it's completely figured out, he's allowed to compete and practice and in competition games, obviously. And then, before the Big Ten tournament, he's supposed to have court date delayed. Before the NCAA tournament, he's supposed to have court date delayed. Now it's officially delayed until after the NCAA tournament. Come on, they know what they're doing. He's a star. If this was a bench player, this would have been concluded and case shut.
This is
a superstar, though. It's not even a star, though. Saying a star, for college basketball terms, he is a superstar.
He is.
He's one of the very few that is.
And it surprises me that this wasn't a bigger story than it was. It surprises me that it wasn't.
It was for a while, though.
I know, but then it just...
NCAA is
buried. I know.
Once you got to postseason play, it was buried.
Buried. That's crazy.
It was talked about a lot during the regular season.
I know,
but not as many people pay attention. The whole country.
I know, but we're Big Ten, so we hear it.
So the whole country isn't paying attention to regular season shit like that.
But then he goes off in these tournaments. He's been going off every
season.
I know.
The leading scorer in the Big Ten.
Dude, in the Big Ten tournament, though, he went 30, 40, 33.
That wasn't even real, dude.
It was nasty. I love him as a player.
So anyways, Illinois, your pet team.
Yeah.
That's why?
No, because it's
Well, that's what I'm trying. You got you off course. I wanted to know why.
Can I say this real quick?
I just explained why that's not why.
I know.
Shut up. Me and you had this conversation.
Hold on, let him go for a second.
I just want to know what your real explanation, because he got you off course. Just trying to bring you back.
Let me answer his question.
Oh,
I want to answer it before you do. MSU is your team, right?
I understand what a pet team is. I want to know why.
I have
an answer why. He's not letting me talk.
He says pet team because MSU is his team, but then the next team he roots for is Illinois.
Thank you. No way. You don't say. Oh my God! Thank you, Captain. That's the most.
We talked about this. That's why I know.
I know. That's the most Captain Obvious moment. We just turned on my headphones.
turned on my...
Well, give me a fucking cape then.
Come on, turn mine back on.
I think so.
Sean! You can't do it.
You're up 28. Holy shit.
I can't hear out of your headphones.
Sean.
Holy shit.
Oh, this is insane. UConn beating
Sean,
that ass.
Sean, you follow me?
Listen.
Did you tell that, Sean?
No.
All
right,
well, I'm not telling these stories. All right,
that's fine.
Oh, come on. I am a fan of Terrence Shannon's game. I also love Coleman Hawkins, who's actually stuck it out and had a bunch of opportunities to transfer and has stuck it out as a senior. And then they got Donajer, whatever, their big center, who was a big MSU target, who I really wanted. He's a junior now, years ago, obviously. So I just kind of, I love Brad Underwood. He came from a Oklahoma State program, which he resurrected. I always liked that he brought Illinois basketball because I feel like they're just like Indiana. They need like their basketball program, which I just argue with a bunch of Indiana basketball people on Twitter. I just feel like Illinois,
Go back to that.
And they weren't orange.
What'd you argue with?
Well, okay, I'll tell you why. You guys don't care, but Bryson Tucker, who was a top 15 recruit, was deciding between Indiana and Michigan State, and they went to Indiana. So that really made me sad.
So you were talking shit to people on Twitter?
I just commented on the main article and said, why in the world would he pick Indiana or MSU? And I got a bunch of replies from like Hoosier fans, and I just went back and forth with them for a good 2 hours. It was so much fun.
I want to hear this conversation. On another date.
Dude, this is nothing new. I do this all the time.
I know. We need to hear more about those, though.
They're not that interesting.
They are, though.
It's a bunch of casual, dumb fans who don't know what they're talking about.
It's fun.
Like, oh, Indiana beat you this year. I'm like, yeah, and they haven't been in the NCAA tournament in 3 years. That's not even saying much just to make it. I don't even brag that we've made it 26 years. That doesn't matter so much to me. It matters to me that we make a run.
And Indiana...
I'm like, bro, you guys can't even get in there. That's not even saying a lot.
Indiana is known for a basketball state, right? They're a basketball state. That's why they really take it to heart. But anyways...
I keep hiccuping.
Did it work?
I'm dying here.
He doesn't believe in scaring hiccups.
Alright, we're going to take a real quick break while Buckley dies. Eat them up, Tigers. Eat them up. What a thrilling 1-0
game. What a thriller.
Baez.
It was the most boring. I watched every pitch. It was the most boring baseball game I've watched in a long time.
And that's what we're going to see a lot of because we have no lineup. Our lineup is disgusting. It is horrible.
In not a good way.
Horrible. It's not sick.
He uses
it's
the term disgusting
there.
In a traditional way.
Yeah, you don't hear it much in sports.
It's not sick. It's disgusting.
It hurts my heart a little bit just knowing what was out there. Nope. God, I have the hiccups, guys. I'm sorry.
No, you're telling me we couldn't get J.D. Martinez back here? You don't think he would come back here knowing that we have a chance to make the playoffs?
I don't know for a fact he would, though.
But we have a weak division with him.
I don't know if...
Yeah, I don't think it's so appetizing to come
to Detroit.
You
know what? What was going to tell me if he was wanting to come back here is where he signed. He went to the fucking Mets, dude. So that tells me he was not about to come sign.
No, his comment, though, I'm addicted to...
He was the Dodgers last year. Yeah, the Mets. He wants competing teams.
I'm addicted to the playoffs. The Mets have a tougher path to get to the playoffs than the Tigers do.
But the Tigers haven't been in the playoffs in 8 years.
But we haven't had hitters. And we have all these young guys.
The Mets are going for the World Series, and he knows that. He doesn't know that we're building to go to the World Series this year.
What they do
we're not.
Last
he doesn't
year.
Want to
he
go to that
wants,
team.
No,
this year.
Wait,
that's
wait,
what I'm saying.
Yeah, I know. I'm agreeing
wait,
with you.
Wait. The Mets last year traded away Verlander, trade away Scherzer, and they're going for it all this year.
They still are. They still have a lot of high priced guys. They couldn't afford those guys, but they still are. They're still last year.
They
have a top five payroll, dude. That means in my mind, if you have a top 10 payroll, you're going for it.
I think with those two it's just like immediate buyer's remorse.
Two old pitchers
that can't stay healthy.
Look at the division.
You
got
them.
Philly in their division. It's not an easier path. We have an easier path to get to the playoffs than the Mets.
I just think it's the fact that it's their goal. It's New York's like, hey, we're going. Like, our goal, we're building slow.
New York, my bad.
Like, JD's not, like, the piece that's going to make us push for a World Series.
I think it's pretty obvious. JD looks at the Tigers. They're, like, way below even league average. They're 22nd.
Yes.
Babel. Then he looks at the Mets, who are top five, and it's New York, and says, and Detroit's depending on much. Young guys, we're really depending on Cole Keith. He even played one game he's played.
I keep thinking the headphones are going out, but it's just you hiccuping.
I know.
It's funny. Don't apologize.
No, my thing is though, if you look where the Mets are,
I'm tradition wise, it's obviously way tougher, yes.
Yeah, it's tough. But they make it last year. They didn't make it last year. And they sold everybody.
Where would you go?
Ooh, Carter.
I mean, I would go to the Mets, too, if I was in, bro.
Hey, if I think it can make a difference in the Tigers' lineup, because we have the pitching staff.
Making a difference, though. He wants to be that last piece. He's not about trying to just get us over the hump or something. He's 35.
It's not a Disney movie where the bad team gets one good player and wins it all.
He could have been the last piece just to get us over the hump to win the division. That's all you need to get in the playoffs.
And he feels like he's that last piece to go over the hump to win the World Series with the Mets. And again, it's New York. We keep forgetting that aspect. I'm like, dude, it is New York. He's 35. He's not married. I know. I looked into this just because I was wondering if he had, like, you never know. It's a big thing, though. Like, look at Eduardo Rodriguez, like, where your family is comfortable or whatever. It does matter, though.
I know when it comes to Philly, though, when it gets into the playoffs, they can make a wild card, but you trade off your two best pitchers, your starting pitchers. Like, it tells me you're selling, you're giving up.
Hey, so.
But they signed so much that they really weren't.
Tell me, I didn't even know they signed. What they signed?
I mean, they got Lindor, a huge contract. Okay, they still got Pete Alonso there.
Yeah, I know they have Pete Alonso. They have McNeil. McNeil's a solid piece.
Yeah, they signed him, too. And I'm honestly going to miss it off the top of my head, but they have they spent a lot of money, and they probably overspent a little bit, and they had to get rid of Verlander and Scherzer. They're the most logicals. They make the most money. Dude, they're both almost 40.
Great point.
Verlander might be 40.
That's a great point right there, though.
Like, you're not going to love Francisco Lindor, who's 30 or 31.
No, you're right. No, I'm going to agree with you right here because Detroit, we are not spending money. New York is spending money. I don't know what the hell we're doing just staying put, but we're not spending money. We're not trying. I feel like the ownership's not trying.
No, they're not. That's
let's just make it work.
That's what everyone's gripe is.
I will say this, though, about that. And I'm going to defend them a little bit, and I don't usually do this, but I don't think it's so much Chris Illich that doesn't want to spend. I have a feeling Scott Harris. Scott Harris won 100 games with a Moneyball team in San Francisco 2 years ago. Which
that's
was astonishing.
But they
did.
Hold on,
let me finish. Which was astonishing what they did.
Yeah.
I think he has that same ego a little bit where he thinks he can do it again. He wants all his young guys to get at bats. Bottom line, I think if Scott Harris told Chris Illich, we need to sign this guy, top guy, whatever, spending money, you name your player, I think Illich would do it.
I got a question.
Scott Harris controls all of this, though.
I got a question.
No, I think that is what attracted Chris Illich to Scott Harris then.
That's a great point. That's a different avenue I didn't even think about. Because he is a Moneyball guy.
He's done it for Stevie Y, as bad as the Red Wings are doing right now. I think he would, but like if he could work with someone who doesn't want to do that, I think that's what he would prefer. That's the vibe I get from him.
No, you're right on it because I think he hired him to be the outside the box thinker.
Isn't sometimes look myself? I'm an out of the box thinker.
Okay.
But I think when we go too far with people, and I'm just this job, but this job in particular, what we're talking about.
Smartest guy in the room.
Yeah, and that's obviously another common term. I think we go too far outside the box. Like, come on, there is still logic involved. I feel like we get too away when it comes to sports and analytics, away from logic. Logic is this. You don't have a significant DH on your entire roster. J.D. Martinez would be by far and away the best hitter.
Carpenter sat because there's a lefty.
Yeah, pitcher. And that's a problem. That is your a problem. Every time JD would never sit if it was right or left. It wouldn't
matter.
But I think Scott Harris and what Sean said, which I never even thought about, which I'm not going to say it's true, but it does kind of make sense. Maybe that is why he was attracted to him, because Sean Harris is a small ball type of guy. And what we have at third base right now is kind of the primary indication of that.
And you tell Chris Illich, hey, I want to do the money ball routine. I think he's all in for that. Like, oh, you get to save me money? Yeah.
You gotta share with the fans because the guy's only 36. Fans always love a new little young executive.
You say that, though. You say that, but we don't have the players to play money ball like that.
No, I know.
Who's the guy on the team taking those walks?
Can is supposed to. I heard his OBP is like, what, top 30?
How many times did he strike out today?
However.
He struck out two.
Hey, speaking of that, I know that because of our new box.
That's the money ball approach of it, though, which I hate.
It came from the Athletics.
I'm against
it. He came from the Athletics, too, which preached that, right?
He played last year for Milwaukee. We traded for him from Milwaukee.
Oh, it was Milwaukee? I thought it was that.
But his year's coming up when everyone said, no, who he was the Athletics.
Okay.
No, hey, 1-0, though. Do we want to talk about any positives?
Scooble.
The pitching, yes.
Jason Foley.
Oh, my God.
Dude, Chafin.
Nasty. Yeah, pitching.
How about Ibanez at third? What a stud. Gosh. Come on. I'm sorry. We went positive, but... Like, you can't deny it. Like, why is he there? Why? Because he can hit?
Because he can hit lefties today.
Okay, put him at DH. Who was at DH?
Mark Canna.
And we got Verling in the outfield. Canna can play outfield, can he?
Yeah, Verling plays better outfield, though.
Keith gets his first hit of his career.
It makes me sick that Mayor Verling's even in the starting lineup. That's how bad we are.
But all in all, we won.
It makes me sick.
Yes.
All in all, we won. So I guess it works, but...
Can I guys tell you a dirty secret?
Uh-oh.
It's about Tigers.
Uh-oh. Here we go.
Oh, no.
Here we go, folks. Get your popcorn.
I mean this. I'm a little embarrassed to say it, but this is really the only place I can say it, because I'm not going to say it at a party because people will chastise me for it, but...
You never know.
This seems like a safe place.
We'll see.
I still have... not confidence, I wouldn't say anymore. Still a little close to that, though, that Javi Baez can get back to average.
I agree.
And I'll admit this. I'm a little biased because when he was on the Cubs, dude, he was like my favorite fucking player. I'm not kidding. He was awesome. Just the antics and the intimidating the crowd. Like, I loved all that shit. It was so entertaining for me. And I was genuinely pumped when the Tigers initially signed him. I still have... God, this is not my normal episode. I can barely talk. I still have faith in him.
Can we go
on? No,
because I got an opinion too.
Not faith in him to
be
that.
Let me go on real quick. I'll be quick.
Not what he used to be, but just be average ball player for us.
Good.
I still do like him.
Good. Here's my thing. When you have it together at the plate, your defense elevates. Like when you have Sean, listen to me real quick. You got it, right? When you're confident at the plate, your defense elevates. Am I wrong? Like,
when
you have confidence at the plate,
you get that swag.
You get that swag, and everyone, dude, why'd you change it? They're in the eighth.
No, Alabama, UNC.
But it just started. But no, Sean, what I'm getting at is...
So did the baseball season.
But no, everyone's raping on him about his bad throws.
Raping
but,
him?
Griping him.
Griping him. Thank you, Sean. They're griping him about his throws, right? But
reinforced.
But if it's hitting, he gets the confidence at the plate, his throws are going to be on point. Like, it's going to all click at once.
Are we seriously talking about his defense right now? Who cares about his defense?
I know, but I'm just saying
it's
as
irrelevant.
Stop. I'm not even talking about that. I'm just saying as a baseball player, you got confidence at the plate, your defense elevates. You get more confidence on defense as well. Like, you're just, everything clicks at once. It's a mental thing.
No, I agree.
That's what I'm getting at. Thank you.
Right. You get one down, you might get the full package.
Right? Exactly.
No, he is one of those players for me, though, that I've just kept rooting, like, come on, prove all these motherfuckers wrong, but it's been so, he hasn't done it yet, and I keep pulling for him too, Buck, so I'm with you. Like, I just want him so badly just to get back to average.
Another thing real quick.
Because it is hype when he's getting booed and he goes up there, and just like today, I mean, it was just a single, but, you know, on the Cubs, it was a home run.
Because I'm kind of like, I relate to him a little bit because I'm kind of that, like, I've always been that feed off the crowd or haters or whoever gives you that hater motivation, you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Feed off that.
And he also did play in that city for a while, obviously. Like, White Sox fans, when he was on the Cubs, were saying, damn, I wish he was South City. Like, I wish he was on the White Sox. Baez was not a bad signing at the time.
I think there's anyone in Chicago who, like, claims to be, like, one of those fans from Michigan who roots for Michigan State and Michigan that claims to root for both the Cubs and the White Sox.
A positive sign.
I think you have to pick one. I keep the same.
I bet you there's a bunch of those. I know, and I feel the same way about Michigan State, but I bet you there is.
Now, back to Baez. Bouncing back from this, though, a positive thing to think about is he changed his approach at the plate. He already changed his approach from last season. He already changed it. He shortened up, and he has the power to do whatever he wants.
Don't do this.
No, because that's a big thing right there.
Oh, my God, don't do this.
Go ahead. What's your problem?
He shortened his approach at the plate, and he went 3-for-42 in the whatever spring training.
Who the fuck cares about his spring training?
But that's where he works on critiquing his swing, like you just said. That's where he works on in-game setting. It's nuts. Oh, my God, he's shoving his dumb ass cars
out. No, you act like he's going to be a superstar. He just has to be better than last year, dude, and
better than last year, still a AAA player. God.
Get back to average.
But what you just...
Get back to average.
Yeah, that's what I
this
said.
This is what we all said, yeah.
What you just said is crazy, though. The whole... Don't give me
the
whole spiel about...
No, that's a
swing.
Big thing.
You know what he did? You know,
you're not a baseball player, and then I can see it right there from that comment from you.
So, how about this, then? That's fine. I played playing baseball.
You changed your approach at the plate.
And he did throw all three trees with 3-for-42.
It takes time. It doesn't go overnight.
He went 3-for... Oh, my God.
It doesn't go overnight. It takes time.
How about the last 2
years? That's his first live pitching after the winter season. Winter season, working all
the
winter.
How about the 2.5 season before?
No, you need to see it live.
He's a professional baseball player. He better be getting some swings in.
No, I mean, during the winter, you don't see live pitching like that. No, it's not live. It's different when it's live. So you...
Are you really doing this?
So you're going to say Torkelson's going to have a bad season, too, because he did bad.
Torkelson's 22. Baez is 31, dude.
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Okay.
He's starting over.
At 31, and he still sucks. And he still sucks.
Dude, you're 29. You're still learning every day, aren't you? Thank you.
I mean,
rest my case.
Anyways, that's where we're at with the Tigers.
What do I have to do with Tigers?
Tigers won.
Hold on. Stop. I have a little bit of an issue with the whole you never played baseball shit.
No.
That's not true, though. I played plenty in my life. I did not play high school varsity, I know, because I did not make team ninth grade because I had really bad grades.
You're telling me you can't make a jump from... Bat in basketball from one off season to another.
But dude, he's 31.
I think
he's young
still
player
learning, though. You're still learning.
Dude, when he was already great before that.
All right, here we go. JD Martinez, when did we get him? He was like 27, 28, was he not?
No,
he was 27.
Okay, but Sean, dude, that's like one fucking example.
No.
Who?
JD Martinez, when we traded for him, he was 27, 28. Right around there.
Yeah, the difference is something clicked for him, nothing's clicking for Javi.
I get that. We haven't seen it yet.
We have seen it though. First 5 years of his career, we have seen it though.
Today he just had a base hit to right field, which was what? No. Listen though, you.
Base hit to right field.
No.
Alana's gonna.
Where was the pitch before that? The pitch before he hit the ball. Where was it?
Dude, I don't remember.
Okay, you don't remember, Sean? Do you know?
No.
He had a fastball on the outside corner. Okay, he geared up to hit it to the other side because he just got that. It's his thought process. When you go to the plate, you have to have a thought process. It's
insane.
No, because you're not a baseball player. Get it? It's insane.
Do you really want to keep doing that?
No, do you really want to think about it? Think about it.
Dude, I watch every single fucking Tiger.
Well, you don't pay enough attention.
I've been playing base.
Pay enough attention then.
Okay. I've been playing baseball since I was like 5, bro.
Dude,
I've been watching
it's
Tigers.
It's mental games when you're up there. I'm sorry.
Hey, but he's 30. I can't even believe you're doing this. This is actually, it's mind-boggling to be honest with you.
You're the one who started it. You were backing him up, and I'm backing him up even further.
You went to a different stratosphere. I was just hoping he'd be average. That's all I said.
Are you kidding me? That's all we need. I just said he can bounce back from last year. That's all.
So everything you just said the last
10 minutes. If he can get his average to 260 instead of 220, we're going to have a better season. He batted 220 last year.
No, he didn't.
230?
Like 190.
All right.
It was that bad?
Yes. They showed
it. I knew it was bad. I knew it was bad.
I'll confirm it for you.
It was on
the opening day lineups today.
He can bat 240 then, I guess.
That makes me want to puke.
Right?
Last year, 2023, right?
But no, he just... That's why I'm saying he's shortened up. He's not gonna swing at those stupid pitches, those sliders way outside. He's not going to swing at those. I think you can figure it out this year.
Damn.
What was it? I swear I saw that. It was 222. 592 OPS.
Thank you. Nice. God.
Anyways.
I don't believe that for you.
I did see the 190 thing though, really.
Probably against like righties or lefties.
This podcast is much quieter than usual because I can't scream and shout, but all those takes you had.
And he's picked up for you.
That was retarded?
Like, all that was retarded.
Because you don't understand baseball, I get it. You think it's retarded.
At least like 85% of it was retarded. All
right.
I don't understand baseball. You do understand I umped it for 16 years, right? Do you understand that part too?
You don't know the deep part of it.
So wait, I played it growing up my whole life. I've watched it my whole life.
But you focus.
And I umpired it for 16 years, but I don't know anything about it.
You don't know the depths of it.
You do understand if we're in a court of law, they would rule my favor by a zillion. To say I don't understand though is stupid though. It's annoying.
Well, to say what I told you was retarded, then you just don't understand.
The defending bias with the new swing when he got 3 hits and 42 at bats in 3 trades, I think that is retarded.
You're still learning.
The numbers tell you! Dude, the at bats matter! Do they not?
You don't understand the
Do we not care?
Have you ever
this hopeful wish that he adjusts his swing, but the he has to get hits eventually, right? It has to be results. I care about results.
Did he have results today?
He had 1 hit to right field. Yes.
Okay. One for three. 1 for 4. That's a good day. I'm sorry, but that's baseball. It's a game of failure. What do you want from that?
Right,
what else do you want?
And that's one game, and I'm going off the last two.
How many
half
people
years?
Went 0 for 4, 0 for 3?
Wow.
Multiple.
Game. Again, I go off a 2.5 year sample size, not a 1 game sample size. That's just retarded.
But it's just changing.
That's just stupid, though.
I'm talking about changing something over one winner. One winner. You're in the cages. Cages are totally different.
But isn't
when
he
you're
working on it in spring training and he sucked? That's the time to work on it, though. I think completely logical. That is the time where you make your adjustments and apply them to a game-like setting. And he was terrible.
But
Like, I'm not off. Like, it's completely logical.
You have a point, but cages are different from live pitching. That was the first live pitching he's seen since he's changed his approach. Give him a chance. Give him a chance to see what happens.
I just said I'd give him a chance.
All right, we got receipts on this. We will come back to this.
Yeah.
It's a good argument.
What'd you guys think of the booth? I had to listen to the first few innings on my way home from work.
I listened to everything. I didn't watch anything.
Oh, so you didn't...
You listened to the radio, though.
Yeah, I listened to the radio for the first few innings.
Craig Monroe was annoying. Benetti's great, though.
Yeah, I feel like Craig was a little
off
his game. I feel like Craig doesn't like him.
Here's what I think.
Right.
I don't think that's exactly true, but the root of it is kind of in there. I think Craig feels a little intimidated now. He doesn't see himself anymore. Like, he's trying to impress too much.
There was something off.
Like, trying to match. I know. Trying to match as good as Benetti is. And it's funny because Benetti was a White Sox guy for the last 12 years. And, of course, his first game was at Chicago White Sox. I thought Craig Monroe, I wouldn't go dislike. I thought he was pushing and pressing to try to kind of match as good as Benetti. I thought he was doing too much. I don't think he's been
just
good.
Like,
I don't think any of them are good, honestly. I don't think Johnny Cain's good. I really don't dislike any of them at all. I think they're pretty cool people.
Some of like the side stories, like when he was talking about 0-for-35 or whatever, it's almost like Craig Monroe took offense to it. Do you hear that one? That part? They're talking about bad streaks for a player.
Yeah, he's like, how long did you go without getting a hit?
Yeah.
Oh, that's what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, Monroe was not happy.
Yeah, it was, like, weird. And then, like, they're talking about pick the stick or whatever.
And Jason's like, this rules? But he was right. I agreed with him, honestly.
I did, and it was just like, whoa. They have to build a chemistry game.
So is the radio and the TV and different announcers?
Yeah. It's Dan Dicker. Yeah.
I heard different announcers.
You had Dan Dickerson and Bill or whatever. He was bad too because I listened to the beginning.
Well,
I didn't hear any radio.
I forget his name. He did it last year too. It was Andy Dirks.
No, it was
Maven, Dirks, and someone else. The guy who does it with Dan Dickerson. I don't know. He was pretty bad.
No, but my problem is with announcers when they I might be victim to talk radio, right? Talk radio, they'll rip a team a new one, right? They don't even care. But I might fall victim to that to where, like, I think they baby these players too much. Like, oh, he had this happen to him, so that's why he missed it.
Who babies the players too much?
The announcers.
So this is...
It annoys me.
It does. Me too, dude.
And this isn't biased. Mickey Redmond and Ken Daniels have won awards for best, like, NHL hockey broadcast. Like, for year. And
I know, yeah.
Ken Daniels does a good job of not, like, when they're doing terrible, like, in the last few years, he will call it out, yeah. And Mickey, especially. Mickey, he's an old man. He'll call it for what it is. And that's what I love about them, but yeah, like...
That's who
but
I've always known.
These announcers, though.
Mickey Redmond will call out that shit.
And I do like that, but I know what you're saying. Especially,
But especially on the radio, the players don't hear what you're saying.
Was it Craig Monroe? Can't we just be positive or whatever?
Was there positive?
Here's my gut.
That was years
this
ago.
This has
too.
Nothing to do with. I think you have to be honest when you have that job. And you don't have to go over the top, you don't have to ridicule them or anything. But man, when they're not playing good, you're not playing good. Whatever sport. Pick your fucking sport. It doesn't matter. I have a problem. And you know who is the worst with, which I have to hear all the time, is obviously with the Pistons. They're really trying.
Oh, how do you...
They never ripped them a new one, though, Kelsey or Blaha.
How do you not?
But Mickey Redmond, though, is the guy who is one of the only ones who I've really heard on the radio. Dickerson tries to, but he dances around it, too.
Oh, Ken Kale's on the radio. Mickey does... Mickey
oh,
Canada.
No, that's a TV. Is that the old guy on TV?
Yeah.
With the white
always
beard?
Always wears the flannels.
Sorry, that's what I mean. You know what I'm talking about. I'm not well-versed with the Red Wings all enough. No, that's what I mean, though. Yeah, he is on TV.
Speaking of the Red Wings.
They should be more honest with things and not.
But they're
really
paid by those networks.
I know,
but
you
that's
don't,
the hard part.
Yeah.
You get in bed with them. That's why radio is so cool. What?
No, just speaking of the Red Wings, they get blown out 4-0. They lose
Jeez,
again.
All 4 goals in one period.
They're out of the playoffs now?
They're going to be, and I'm Mr. Positive when it comes to my Lions and my Red Wings. But there's just something about the fact that we were not had a 9-point cushion and blew it all and now continue to lose. It's like I feel like it's over for us.
Where
we got a fucking point against Washington, but you can't afford that when you get them two, and that's the team you're chasing.
Were we up 2-1 yesterday? I'm just looking at the wild card.
Yeah, we're out. But they
no, but weren't we up on Washington the other night? Was it? Were we up?
No, they were up on us. We were tied. It was a big swing game, I'll tell you that.
So, yeah.
And now they have a game in hand.
So when Washington wins in overtime, they get 2 points, we get one. That's how that works, right?
Yes. So, yeah, that's the team you can't afford to
get a
point.
So we're way behind Tampa.
Yes, Tampa. So what I'm hoping is that Philly tanks. Because we Capitals have a pretty easy schedule.
Oh, wow,
I'm hoping, because
what's he doing?
It's the top three
just
in each.
Just getting in, right?
So it's the top three in each division. So yeah. I'm hoping Philly falls off, Washington takes over that third spot, and then we take over Philly. That's what I think our best chance is. Huh?
There can't be that many games left.
There's not. There's
one,
like 10.
10? Yeah.
There is nine games left.
Basketball's the same.
Look, I know, but we're not competing for a playoff spot. They play 12:30.
We need to go like 7-2.
No, I was just saying basketball's
on. Oh, God, Panthers are good.
Panthers are very good. We have a hard
schedule.
That's
what they play at 12:30.
And
oh, my God, Lightning, Rangers are good. Oh, my God, all these teams are good. Okay,
Sabres,
that's 500.
Penguins aren't that great. They're out of the playoffs. Only Canadians are out of the playoffs.
You guys don't play. Oh, my God, we don't play any bum teams.
You guys, see.
I know. Well, I admit I'm a bandwagon Red Wings fan. Yeah. I don't do the wee thing with that. And I'll admit it. At least I'm honest. See, I get a problem when people aren't honest about it. When you're a bandwagon fan, just tell me. Okay? And I am with the Red Wings.
Yeah,
and when they play in the playoffs, I will be watching every second.
It's a Detroit team. You could say we.
All right, let's pause on that one. I need a second.
Yeah, I agree. I love you all.
Anyways, I'm just very depressed over the Red Wings. Fuck it. So, recently, this past week, pretty terrible thing happened in Baltimore. Ship lost power, ran into the bridge. Bridge collapsed. Looked awful. Probably could have been worse. Like, could you imagine if that happened during rush hour?
Right.
I mean, like, did you have you guys seen the video?
Yeah. Yes. It was at night. So.
It's just awful.
But
it didn't look like there was a ton.
Bridge.
I mean, luckily it happened. I mean, still tragic. Obviously, we lost lives. But it just got me thinking, because, like, you drive up north, you pass the Zilwaukee Bridge or Mackinac, just in Florida, driving on bridges. I'm always thinking, like, man, what would happen? And, like, it actually happened. Like, do you have any of those fears that you think about that you just never think that might never happen? Most likely, it's, like, the opposite of hitting the lottery. It's not going to happen.
Well,
but you still think about it?
Yeah. Buckley has probably a long list, but mine's pretty short. Snakes. The different sizes they can be, how sneaky they are, how quiet. Like, they just sneak up on you.
So, like, what do you think, like, could happen, though? Like,
it's not,
so, like,
not for me, because
so, like,
I live in Michigan.
So,
like, it feels like the bridge collapse, what that happens, like, realistic.
I guess how we'd have to look up the numbers. How often does someone get swallowed by a fucking snake compared to bridges collapse? No, but I hate snakes. Like, if I was lost out in the Everglades, fuck
swallow.
That.
There's
I don't
one,
need. I don't ever think I'll be in the Everglades alone. But if I was, hell yeah, it's snakes.
I have a life experience about it though, because I was at my uncle's house. He lives on this big farm. He has chickens and all kinds of things. I was just weed whacking, cleaning up like around his fence, okay? Just cleaning up the grass around his fence. And it's tall grass. Where snakes like to live, it's tall grass. I didn't think about it until I actually saw one, and it was an itty bitty gardener snake. And that's all it took for me, and I flipped out. I'm like, I'm done, I can't do it anymore.
I do hate snakes.
I felt like a little bitch, but...
It doesn't have to be swallowing somebody.
No, I know. No, that's suffocating.
Venom.
Yeah, venom.
That's the main one.
Yeah.
I watch videos all the time, and it's kind of weird, but where they make snakes bite, like, a cup or something, and you see their venom come out, and, like, if you even touch it, you can die. It's so thick and a weird color. It's just exactly what you think it would look like. Dude, it's flabbergasting.
And my fear is so bad.
Yeah, I don't know how I didn't go right to venom swallowing you.
But my fear is so bad. My fear of snakes is so bad that I just watched a video of, it could have been fake, but someone's in a grocery store and all of a sudden you don't see it, but it's over in the corner of the picture, and then it goes over a little bit, and then you see it and you can't unsee it. It's like, that's my fear of snakes. I mean, I don't really have, I don't fuck with them.
I don't need no rattler or anything.
What?
Go ahead, Matt. What's your fear? Because I know you got quite a few, but
I just don't think that's an irrational fear though, because it's.
Because I live in Michigan.
Yeah.
There's no snakes here. Yeah.
Like, if your fear was like specifically walking in Florida alone in a highly populated.
Or alligators.
Or you're in the desert in Arizona. Highly populated.
It's true. I've seen too many things on TV and on the internet that's just...
Sharks is probably too common.
Yeah, sharks are, like, I won't even touch those.
No, I just mean, like, a fear, because, I mean...
Well, here, I'll give you one. Here's my most irrational fear that's completely logical. That I'm, like, driving fast, and there's traffic jam or whatever. I gotta stop really fast, and I'm trying to stop, and my brakes don't work.
That's like a nightmare where you're sleeping and then all of a sudden.
That's why I said it happens to me all the time. And then when I. Let me go, because that's crazy, because that's where I get it from. The second I'm about to hit the car, I don't wake up, but like the dream just ends. That's it. Right when I hit the car, it's over, and then it's like I'm to something else. I just, the stress though. Yeah. I'm like in my bed sometimes. I know I gotta be like,
you're talking about a different stage though.
That freaks me out though. But that's rational. Your brakes can just go out. You know?
Okay, but.
Probably not in the cars we have, but if you're in the hood.
But no, like, you're talking about dreams now, nightmares. You ever have the nightmare?
Doesn't matter if it's dreaming, it's still an irrational fear.
You ever have the nightmare being out in public and all of a sudden you have no clothes? And
all the time.
Yeah.
Like, naked? Like, dude. I mean, we all have those dreams.
That's so crazy, because I have those dreams too, where I'm just like naked.
And a psychologist would tell us that it means something, but what does it mean? We don't know.
They don't know either. Yeah. I think they know.
Because they have a college degree.
Yeah, I don't know if anyone knows. Where's like the hypothesis for that?
Another one.
Like, how could you possibly know?
Another one, but I think probably it's a lot of people think of it because of Final Destination, but it's when you're following a semi that's carrying a bunch of shit.
Carrying cars.
Yeah, cars. Anything. Supplies.
What about the one? It just falls off of it.
Have you ever seen Final Destination? Yeah.
You see those trucks with cars on just the top. Not on the bottom, just on the top, and it's going.
They never look strapped in enough to me.
No, they're bouncing.
And yeah, there wasn't a bouncer.
Yeah, he's bouncing. I'm like, this doesn't seem normal.
That's why I speed past semis. I always speed past semis. I will go over the speed limit, get past them. I will not stay behind them. Even because you think about it though, they could even throw up rocks. Like, you know how your windshield getting cracked. I've always been past a couple windshields cracked from that shit.
Like, not a major crack. Not a major crack, but like a baby crack.
That's all it takes though. Then it spiders out.
Yeah, unless if you don't get it fixed, absolutely.
All right.
And then, so I always think if I had to pick one way not to go, it would be getting buried alive. And I don't think I'm ever going to be in that. I don't think I'm going to get involved with the cartel to where they're burying me alive. I really don't think I'll be in that position. But it kind of, yeah, right, leads me, like, something collapsing on you. Like, I remember, I think it was off of St. Clair where something happened in that park where you grew up. Didn't
Blue Water Talk? Oh, wait, whoa, whoa.
A long time ago when we were kids. Yeah, and something collapsed and a few kids died. Maybe it was just an urban legend. Scare me, or like building snow and like the snow collapse on you and you was buried there.
I got a real life one.
And snowboarding, fall into a big pile of snow, and you see those videos of people digging.
I don't know if you guys might have the same feeling though.
I don't even want to go snowboarding because of those videos.
Here's a real life one right here. You're driving on the highway, you got construction going on, you got that cinder block wall next to you, lanes are already tighter than the usual, and you got cars flying and just
during construction? All yeah.
Do you not feel like suffocated between that wall and another car?
I don't understand how people go so fast during that. That should be like 40 miles.
Do you guys feel the same?
Yeah, I'm not speeding through it.
I don't think anyone's getting fucked up because you're in a good confined space.
You feel that suffocation. Like, you're like,
I have to be perfect. And I just think, how in the world are we still going 60 miles an hour, 70 miles an hour now?
Now think about being in a box truck. Thinking about being a wider truck. That's what I deal with on a daily basis. I get anxiety feeling that sometimes. You gotta avoid it. That's my profession. That's what I do. But no, dude, that's one fear that is really realistic in my life right now.
Go Rangers.
3, 2, 1. I'm gay. Dusty May, how?
Oh, I'm gay, Dusty May.
Got him.
Oh boy, your score is going crazy. Both Tar Heels
lost. North Carolina.
So you're gonna.
Old.
Oh wow, you're gonna go deep on this. Your definition on this of deep and my definition of deep is probably a little different when it comes to this.
Well, your definition of deep, yes, I'm going deep.
Exactly. He always goes deeper.
I appreciate you explaining that.
He always goes deeper, so.
Dude, my deep is like his Division II records and stuff.
Like our second podcast back, your quote, I always.
High school record.
I like it deep, right? No, I like going deep. I forget what you. Anyways.
I remember what you're talking about, though.
So, I heard about it. And I can't say I knew who the guy was, but from the little things that I heard, the record, the 5 years before he was at FAU, was trash, and he built the program, and they made the Final Four last year, they made the tournament again this year. So, I mean, I really have nothing not to like about it. You can probably tell me if there is, but it just seems... Oh, and I like that it's not a Michigan man. I think that's what I might like the most about it.
It's about time.
It's outside the box, if you ask me.
So I think that's kind of what... what how old man. Is he?
Young.
It doesn't
he's
matter.
He's in his 40s, but though. He's not old. You're good. You're good on age.
Wait. So they didn't give it to the other coordinator?
Yeah.
Really? What? Oh, you're talking about college basketball.
Yeah, where have you been?
No, what are you talking about? Football or basketball?
Dusty May.
Are you serious?
Because he's zoned out a little bit.
No, they just signed Dusty May?
You see,
I didn't hear that. No, I know who Dusty May is.
Who is he?
That's FAU's coach.
You didn't know? This is really just hitting you now? That's kind of... No, you're fucked. What's the point of fucking around?
No, I was fucking you guys. Let's go.
Okay.
This is a serious sports podcast.
What do you think?
Sorry, guys.
Go ahead, Sean. Finish what you got to say.
No, I was just saying, my favorite part about
it. Let me explain it.
Is that I haven't heard of him from a Michigan. I'm sure I heard his name last year a lot during the Final Four. I'm sure, but it just kind of escaped my brain. And so I like it. I have no reason not to like it, but I don't know much. So take it away.
I'm not going to
go. Here comes the expert.
I love it. Eddie. Don't ever stop.
I mean, it's a compliment. Big Ten
expert. That's what you are.
And it is true. I mean, college basketball.
College basketball, Big Ten's your zone. That's your zone.
It's true. Anyways, Dusty May, he had a full-ass offer from Louisville. Louisville, when you're talking about college basketball.
Oh, yeah, I like that too.
Is...
Louisville, okay, I'm not talking shit about Michigan. I swear to God, so do not take it like that. And specifically, I don't care. I don't care. The wall season. Specifically, college basketball. Louisville's on the ceiling. Michigan's right here. Pertaining specifically to college basketball.
Agreed.
And I'll give a little bit of Ward Manuel some credit, who's been basically a non-existent athletic director his entire tenure here. Jim Harbaugh's basically ran that fucking athletic department. To get acquire Dusty May when Louisville was the first to reach out to him, and we don't know the offer, but obviously it had to be a significant offer. Michigan's paying $3.75 a year. I don't know how in the world he didn't get $5 from Louisville, but whatever. Dusty May was sought after. Seton Hall wanted him. Obviously, Louisville, who's above you in college basketball stature. Think about this. Michigan, and that was great. Michigan just took the most coveted coach in this cycle.
Absolutely.
It's not even about that they got the most coveted coach in this cycle. It's about that they got him over a legitimate blue blood. I mean, Louisville's won a bunch of nannies. And remember, do not include football in this, please.
Who's got more money, though? Who's got more money, though? Has Louisville got more money, or has Michigan got more money?
I thought it'd be at least the same when it came to basketball.
I mean, but Michigan's a bigger school, though.
Let me... Again, you got to separate, though. Basketball, okay. Louisville's bigger.
I get that, though.
Okay, I'll explain why. Ooh. I think any team was going to match his salary, Louisville or Michigan. I think, and this is where you're going to give Ward Manuel a little credit. Mm-hmm. This is my reading everything and my personal insight.
Ooh, that
I think Ward kind of sold him on a vision here. He said, you got a fresh roster. Everything is yours. Louisville has a lot of donors and people who are, because it's such a traditional program.
Okay.
A lot of people like to say this a lot about business, a lot of cooks in the kitchen. I think Ward Manuel sold Dusty May, and this is not a fact, but this is my opinion, an educated opinion at that.
Salesman, you got
it. I think that they sold Dusty May on, this is yours. This entire thing is your baby. I don't think he had that at Louisville. I don't think he had the full autonomy.
No,
many people are involved with that program. Michigan, there's not enough people involved. It's the polar opposite. So I think he's like, I think the money was always going to match, no matter what. No, so
I understand. Can I go off of that? No, you talk about Dusty May. FAU has recruited so well. His teams have been solid. It hasn't just been one player. It's been all around.
I didn't get to that
team.
Part either.
I know, but you didn't get to that. But I was thinking
they didn't
that
recruit
time.
So well though.
But they
recruited like shit, just like any bottom program. It's the player development.
But he had a say in who comes here.
Of course, he's the main say.
Right, so he put his team together. He's been there for how long? Tell me, how long has he been there?
Five, 6 years. Yeah.
5, 6 years. That's enough to put a team together. And he's done it for 2 years
But he didn't have top-level recruits. That's why he's getting these jobs.
No, but now he's going to Michigan. It's a bigger name. Louisville's an even bigger name. But you're right. You're right. Ward Manuel, he had to sell.
He said, this is all yours. Louisville said, well, the team's yours, but this guy, trust me. It's a known thing with Louisville. Kentucky's the same way.
But if he went to a school
basketball is the gospel. That's why it's shocking that he went to Michigan.
I get it. So if he went to Louisville or Kentucky, there would be people in his ear saying, you gotta take this guy, you gotta take him.
Every single major decision.
Yes.
He would have to listen, like, unwillingly, most likely.
He's got the freedom to take who he wants. And
Ward Manuel said,
here's
the piece, bud. Go for it.
He's his GM. He's his owner. He's everything.
Something Dusty May said in his press conference, and I normally don't take anything out of
this. I like this guy. I do like the guy.
He said, we're going to be appeasing to the eye. He said, we're going to play basketball in a fun way, which I know how he plays. He's break, a lot of threes. It's weird that it was kind of crazy he admitted
that
during the press conference. You don't hear that often, though.
What you just said, it's run and gun.
Yeah.
Yeah?
I mean, yeah.
You don't hear them admitting it
that much in press conferences, which I thought was interesting. I kind of felt like he was going too much to try to...
That's the
make people happy, though.
That's the confidence, though, and saying,
you
like,
can
stop
take
me.
It that way as well.
Stop me.
I don't take it that way, though.
That's what you're saying, is stop me. That's what we're going to do, stop me.
I don't know if he's certainly talking, or exactly talking to opposing teams at this point.
Dude, at that
I think he's talking to the alumni of the university. I think he's trying to get people excited.
Okay.
It was a little weird for me, though. Like, you don't hear that often. That's all. Like, I've watched a lot of these. I don't take any.
Maybe he saw how empty Chrysler was, so he's just trying to get... Hey fans, it's going to be fun to watch. Come.
Hey, it's positive for the Michigan fan base, though. It's positive for the Michigan fan base.
That's probably it, though. Right there, what he just said, though. That's probably
subliminally, maybe.
Oh, he's already watched every game in full from Michigan this season. He definitely knows how empty it's been. He's watched every Michigan game in full probably 3 different times already. I guarantee it.
Well,
I guarantee it. He's probably watching shit on a practice film, everything.
Before we move on, I gotta ask, realistically, how long before you think Dusty May and the Michigan Wolverines are competing for Big Ten championships?
Next year.
Next year? No, I'd say I don't know. I feel like it would be dishonest if I even gave an answer.
The coaching held back Michigan so much this year. It wasn't the players, it's more the coaching.
Okay.
Last year. This year, well,
okay.
So, but he brings in the
players. You may think that competing for the Big Ten like championship is far-fetched. Would making the tournament be?
Should we expect them to make the tournament?
I mean, Michigan should expect to make the tournament every fucking year, no matter what.
That's my answer right there.
Yeah. Though.
So.
Because but, with the transfer.
Okay, so I'll keep my question the same. I'll keep my question the same. How long until we compete, or Michigan competes for a Big Ten championship?
Maybe
next year. That's longer.
That's what I asked at first. No, that was my second after you said this year. My original question was Big Ten championship.
They're not going to be bottom feeders. Right off the bat, they're not going to be bottom feeders.
Competing for, we're talking like top five in the Big Ten.
Yeah, right? I would say top five. I would
go for
top four.
You have more intelligence.
I definitely love this question.
I'll say 2-3 years.
Well, that's an easy one. Come on.
Well, I guess there's not many
answers.
You can
say specifically when exactly. I'll give you a specific answer.
That's why
they're going to make
game 12 of year 3. They start picking it up.
Okay.
No. Listen, Mike. No.
Listen. Okay.
All right. Second year, they'll be a 10 seed in the nationals.
Okay,
in the tournament.
Well, we're talking.
And that's probably right around the fact of the top five in the Big Ten to be competing for a Big Ten title.
Yeah.
Michigan will be very competitive when conference play occurs in Dusty May's second year. They're still going to have a rough year. If they can just get into the tournament this year as a plan or something, I don't think they will. I think they have a long road. But you can turn it quick because you only need 5 players.
Same thing I said.
Second? I know, but yours was so generic.
Two, three years.
No shit. If he doesn't turn around 2-3 years, he might not have a job.
Yeah, right. Exactly. You're right. Okay.
Thing in college athletics right now is you don't have the time with the transfer world anymore. He has 1 year. You get 1 year grace period. He better be ready to go, and I think he will, honestly.
I think they're in the tournament next year with them.
This upcoming season?
I think they make the tournament.
If they just get in, even just as a play-in, that would be a great first season for them.
Because they are
so far behind, man. I don't understand how a program like that is this far behind.
And the thing is,
just made the national championship game in 2018. It's not that long ago.
Hey, so
I still love the
that
tournament.
Not long ago, is it?
Well, there's something about having your team
look
in there.
So you look at Michigan State, right? How many guys leave Michigan State? Basketball. I'm talking about not football. Basketball.
What do you mean leave?
How many people aren't loyal to Tom Izzo?
Transfer portal. They don't leave. They don't leave. Michigan players leave. And that's because of coaching. It's been inconsistent, right? So, if Dusty, he can come in.
Still got the hiccups.
And keep guys there. If he can come in and just...
He will.
And talk these guys into staying and not leaving, I think next year you guys make the tournament.
Hope so.
Talking to what, guys?
What?
They've got 3 scholarship players on their entire roster right now. He's going to have to bring in an entire new roster.
Okay, no, you're right. No.
Do you know who you're guys right. You even heard
it's
of?
It's not talking about
that are coming back next year is Will Chandler
for that. He's got to bring guys in.
You're right.
How many guys from FAU are going to follow him, though?
Do you really want
none? Do you think any of them will?
I'm sure maybe one or two, but what is that saying?
It could be a lot, though.
I mean...
Yeah, I think you're underestimating.
Transitioning from where they're at to transitioning into the
just
Big
to
Ten.
Just to make the tournament. Just to make it.
Yeah, but the players coming with him, transitioning into low-level division...
Already,
like the high level division one already, is like a new league. It's almost like going to a new league.
Really, but they're already in his program. They know what he wants because Dusty's main is going
to
bring what he
well, to
wants.
Go on, but I wouldn't be excited about it.
No. I know, but they know his system already.
Sure.
Because every coach has a system.
And they're not really Big Ten caliber talented, obviously. So,
dude, they make the tournaments and they go.
Oh man, you can't read too much into that. Put Florida Atlantic in the Big Ten the last 3 years, they would never even sniff the tournament, dude. The only reason they get in the tournament is because they play in this little ass shitty conference. They have a beautiful destination for a school, and that's not the only reason. Obviously, the coach has a lot to do with that. That's dumb, but he has advantages there. If Dusty May was coaching Florida Atlantic in the Big Ten last 5 years, they wouldn't even ever sniff the tournament. It's a different animal. It's not even the same sport, though.
Yeah, the only team they would have beat would have been Michigan. No, I'm just really happy.
I get what you're saying.
No, I'm just really happy Juwan's gone. It needed to happen. We need a change. I think it's a good...
No,
it makes sense. Where do we want to go from there?
Well, I've been wanting to get into my Spartans for a moment, but I did not vocalize that, and I also have the hiccups, just kind of like how A.J. Hogarth had the hiccups all fucking season. Missed lit here, bad read here, missed passed here. Michigan State finishes 10-10 in the Big Ten, 20-15 overall. You had a dominant NCAA win. I'm sorry for hiccups. You had a dominant NCAA tournament win. This season, though, at least since I've been, like, 12 or 13, was by far worse that I've witnessed. This was a sickening season. I feel like there was
two. Let me help you with that, because it was the most disappointing. We came into this season ranked, what, fourth?
Yeah, I don't buy into that.
I know, but we
ranked fourth before
they
played in game.
We had the most promising recruit class come in, and we didn't see it.
They didn't flourish whatsoever.
No,
I don't buy into that.
No, I know, but I'm trying.
Because I hate preseason rankings. I think it's so stupid to rank teams before they've even played a game, and especially ranking a team number 4 based on high school seniors coming. And honestly, I was as hopeful as anyone, obviously, but I just think it's silly.
You hyped me up with them. That's why I wanted to say.
And naturally so, but I still don't buy into, oh, they're number 4, now they're this. You deal with the team as is.
Do you feel like the team was kind of boring?
Very boring.
And that probably hurt, watching it.
It just really hurt.
You didn't see the freshman
this
play.
Year,
this
year, they played. One got
no, shot. No, you didn't see him. Enough.
It was very disappointing. My heart hurt the whole season. I dedicate too much into recruiting, too much into watching all the games, just everything. This whole landscape of college basketball, and that's my squad. It really, my heart, I didn't wear my sleeve as I normally do because honestly, I was pretty embarrassed. Like, that is just the standard that it was bad. And I am so thankful that they still get an NCAA tournament and win a game. Like, I'll never act like that's nothing because it is. I watch Indiana's. God, not talking shit, but I watch the Michigan's. I watch teams who I watch Wisconsin. missing the last 2 years before this year. Like, really good schools don't even get in here and there. Like, Michigan State gets in every year, so I don't ever take that for granted. But, man, I'm really interested in national championships when Tom Izzo is here. I'm not really interested in being relevant or just barely getting in and winning a game. Like, it just, I mean, it's better than nothing.
What do you think of his quotes? I'll either go on a deep tournament run or die trying.
And last time he said that, they were in the Final Four.
Well, that's boring then.
Last time he said that, they went in the Final Four.
It's been nothing but an excuse for the last 5 years. It honestly pissed me off when he said that. Yeah. He said that with Max Christie 3 years ago. He's been saying that forever, dude. I'm tired of it. Like, results speak again. And the same thing with the bias thing, though. Results speak. Like, even though I'm a dyer and I love Izzo.
Oh, he's trying to hit me hard.
I'm serious. Results speak, though. It's not about what you should do or adjusting this or adjusting that. Either it works or it doesn't. Like, it's pretty obvious.
Baseball and basketball are two different sports.
Okay. Not adjusting.
Not a good comparison. Not a good comparison.
Adjusting your strategy or timing at the plate or your swing or adjusting your
approach
strategy. Okay, whatever, of course.
Jeez.
But it is the same though. And it's like, I don't give a fuck. Shut the fuck up. I don't give a fuck about anything but results.
Disrespect your game of baseball.
Oh my god, dude. I don't care about results. It hasn't been enough. It was a horrible season, and you're losing your two best scorers on a team that wasn't that good.
No, absolutely.
Like, what are you replacing all this with? Like, you gotta obviously
hit the portal hard. You gotta hit the portal hard.
But there's not even that many scholarships open on the roster. There's max two, and that's not even for sure. There's only for sure one. The whole situation just sickens.
Do we have an NIL, like, cap?
There is no cap. And they have one of the best NIL programs for the basketball program in the country. God.
Okay.
Is this how people with Tourette's feel or stutter problems? Like, you really can't
even. You sound like me right now. So
I know. I'm just dying.
We didn't have to look into that deeper, but with NIL money, like, you need to use it. If you don't use it, you lose it. Like, what's the point?
Well, that's not true. Let's not use it or lose it.
No?
Not at all. There is no cap.
What are you doing?
That's the problem.
Shouldn't be a problem then.
Come on, dude. You know, it's not a problem. The NIL is not a problem. It's been Tom's recruiting. They haven't panned out as good as we thought all these guys would. That's really what the problem is.
So, with what?
Tom is always the problem with underachievements.
Okay, okay.
He'll tell you himself.
Okay, so with what he just said then, what he said, we're going to make a deep run in the next, and his goal is to make a deep run in the tournament. Is he not going to jump into that NIL money even deeper than he has before? Does he realize
he wants you don't want to come up.
But
he would love for there to be $1 billion in NIL. That's nothing to do with him though.
But no, does he realize he has to go outside what he's used to? Because he's an old school coach, right? Old school, been there for years. It's a new game now. Does he understand the new game? Is he going to make the strides to put this team to the next level? Is he going to do it?
You sound like a sports magazine. Dude, he understands how it works. It's not that complicated.
Okay, but is he gonna do it to get him the next level?
He's got the support to do it, and yes, he will. What you're really getting at is he needs to use the transfer portal more. And the thing is, you got Tyson Walker from the transfer portal. You got Joey Hauser from the transfer portal.
Great find.
Those were your last 3 years, your three last leading scorers were all from the transfer portal. So that's just what has to happen.
There's just signs telling you what to do.
That's all. There's just a lot of people.
Go Big Ten, Illinois.
Trust me, though, but it's not about the NIL collective. If it was up to him, he'd want $1 billion in there. Trust me.
I get it.
They have more than enough to get elite players.
He reminds me more than enough.
But the only school that has more than us is, like, Duke.
For some reason, though, because You said Duke, Kentucky, all those teams?
Kentucky.
They go the one and done guys, the five stars, the big guys that are going to 1 year and leave. D'Antonio goes for the guys that are going to stick around and be there for years.
D'Antonio?
And he does good with them. He does.
What does D'Antonio have to do with this conversation, though?
No, I'm not. Sorry. Izzo is, he goes for the guys that will stick around. I didn't mean D'Antonio. D'Antonio would go for the 2-3 stars. Hopefully they hit.
But that is not able to be compared because that was the non-NIL. No, it's not about the sports. The non-NIL era when D'Antonio was there.
Okay.
And it's completely, it's not about, but the sports are very similar when it comes to NIL.
But it seems like a Michigan State type of thing where we go for the guys that will stick around and not transfer. But you're right, D'Antonio wasn't around with that. So.
No, that will have to change. And Izzo, I think, knows that. They've reached out to a few portal guys who are stuck.
Where our game with D'Antonio was, Izzo and D'Antonio have been at it for years. They were together, football, basketball, for so many years. Like they were,
D'Antonio they coached 13 years at MSU. Izzo
coached 26. They built a characteristic about Michigan State.
But everything they built their programs on is irrelevant now, though.
It is. It is now.
Like, I get building the program, and it used to be like that, which was
fun. That's what I'm getting at, too.
Those days are gone, though.
Yeah.
Everything you build changes in one single transfer portal window. Everything is...
We expect big things out of Izzo next year, is what it comes down to. We expect big things...
The thing is,
on the offseason,
it's still always his fault because he picks the players that play in the games. Okay, he recruited AJ Hogarth, he recruited Sissoko, he recruited, pick your poison, anybody who has not been great, Cohen Carr. Okay, it still ultimately comes down to him. He's relying too much on development these last few years instead of proven commodities,
exactly,
which,
getting to,
and that's what he did. His center position last year, and he'll be the first one to tell you. I know he'll bring in a big man.
Can we bring a big man in, please?
Well, they have to.
You have to, right?
Because only big man can come.
You don't have a choice.
This game has changed, too, because you can't rely on young players so much more than NIL, because a lot of the good players stay now who are fringe NBA guys. They're like, oh, I'll stay for guaranteed.
Can we get FAU's big man?
And you're still a legend around college. You're not a legend once you go to the NBA, if you're a fringe NBA guy. They're like, oh, you're going to give me $400K to come back to college? And I'm a legend here. Like, I literally fucked the professors, the female ones.
Well, now
but,
you're
like,
talking,
if they go to the NBA,
on,
they get only a couple hundred more guaranteed. It's a decision now. It didn't used to be a decision because you couldn't make this type of money.
You didn't have a choice.
So now you have to have some guys like RJ Davis is a senior, Baycott's a senior, Harrison Ingram's a senior. Baycott would have never came back in a million fucking years if this was 10 years ago, dude. He'd been gone like the wind, bro.
The best thing.
Why he's back is he's making damn near a million NIL because he knows he won't even make that in the NBA. That's the thing because his name is bigger in college. Which it should always been like this. Only the stars should get it.
The best thing Izzo's got going for him, no one leaves him. Once you get under Izzo, no one wants to leave him. They trust, they believe in him.
Pierre Brooke just left after his sophomore year, averaged 17 points a game for Butler this year. Pierre Brooks.
And he went off this year.
I'm sorry.
He definitely went off. No, I'm sorry.
He would have helped his team so much. That one pisses me off, though. He would have helped his team so much.
But he didn't leave last year. He left the year before.
He left last year. This was his first season at Butler.
He was on the bench the whole time?
Yep, barely played. And then went to Butler and averaged 17. Butler's not some bum program. We could have used him like a fucking camel could use.
Dude, you've been our best scorer.
Maybe so. Probably not. I'm just going to
say.
Butler was even close to the tournament, but they're not a retarded program.
No, but they beat some good teams, too, though.
All right, then. That's my hiccup episode.
That was fun.
Hiccups.
Go Tigers. Lots no Tigers tomorrow.
On.
That sucks.
Go Tigers.
The Tigers don't.
Tigers won. Guys, Tigers won. 1-0. They won, though.
I know why they always do the day off after opening day, but I hate it.
A little bit of recovery for
I
the
always
fans.
Felt like it was because if it because of the weather, if it gets rained out, they just do it
so
the next day.
He nailed it.
I asked him yellow because I wasn't sure today.
That's exactly why.
That's exactly why. That's why I wanted to ask him because I didn't know that till today.
All the other games never got postponed.
It just sucks because I have the day off tomorrow, but no Tigers.
I could have had. I was hoping for like a 1 o'clock game or a 4 o'clock game. No,
anyways, want to know on the road to the World Series.
Can't go undefeated if you don't win the first one, right?
Nope.
All right, Hiccup Buckley's out.
Love y'all.
Peace.